Rise and shine, everyone. You are listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Central Vermont Community Radio at 91.1 FM and 91.7 FM on your dial. Welcome back, folks. We are back on the air. We had a little power outage last night, so it was very exciting this morning, but I am so thankful to be back on the air in time for the kids' show. Let me tell you first, though, that community support for Amy's Kids Show is provided in part by Woodbury Mountain Toys, featuring a selection of toys and games for kids of all ages. Located at 24 State Street in Montpelier, Vermont, more information about Woodbury Mountain Toys can be found at woodburymountaintoys.com. Come in and play with us. That's what they say at Woodbury Mountain Toys. And what a coincidence. That's what we say here at Amy's Kids Show. I am so excited to be here again this morning. Happy Saturday. We have a whole hour to play and celebrate and be thankful. It's quite a week for that, isn't it? And guys, could never, ever invent the amount of magic that happens in real life. If I had to sit down and create a story or write a story, I could never, ever in a million years on my own create the kind of magic that the world creates for us. I mean, last week, I don't know if you were joining us last week, but we had Ann Elephant come join us here in the studio. She actually fit in here because she's a puppet. We actually had a listener write in and ask us, how did we fit an elephant in the station? And that was a very good question. And no, we did not shrink her. She is her natural size. She's a puppet, and so she fits in lots of places. And she's going to be back this week. And I don't know if folks remember what she asked about last week, because an elephant is extremely curious. She, just like her great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the elephant's son, also has insatiable curiosity. Insatiable curiosity. And so she's so curious. So when she was here last week, I thought it would be nice, since she's our guest, to let her pick the theme for this week. And because she is new to Vermont, and we had a few little snowfalls in the few weeks that she'd been here so far, of course, she had never seen snow. They don't have snow where she's from. So she was curious about snowflakes. And guess what happened today in Vermont, guys? Did you wake up in Vermont like I did today? We have snow. We have about a foot of snow. How amazing. How amazing. So how did Anne know that it was going to snow? So we're celebrating snow. Thank you for joining me. Let's get started.
Girls and boys, let's play a little singing game. We'll have to divide ourselves into three groups. Group one will sing the first line. Group two will sing the second line. And group three will sing the third line. Now group one will take, I saw a big dog, I saw a big dog. Group two will take, I saw a bigger dog,
I saw a bigger dog.
And group three will take, I saw the biggest dog of all, I saw the biggest dog of all. Now let me sing it through by myself. I saw a big dog, I saw a bigger dog, I saw the biggest dog of all. Now I want you to sing the whole thing with me. Here we go. I saw a big dog, I saw a bigger dog, I saw a bigger dog, I saw the biggest dog of all. Once more, I saw a big dog. I saw a bigger dog.
I saw a bigger dog.
I saw the biggest dog of all.
Would you please tell me a story? Just a little one.
Okay, all right. Here goes.
Let's go, let's go, let's really go.
Did you know that long ago the Eskimos had too much snow in Tokyo? So off we'll go to Mexico, said the Eskimo.
Let's go, let's go, let's really go.
With a fee-fi-fo, the Eskimo played the piccolo for the buffalo. Sing fee-fi-fo, a song you know called Too Much Snow in Tokyo. Snow in Tokyo.
Say cheese, say oh, say go. Hey, hey, hey. Say cheese, say oh, say go. Hey, hey, hey.
Tell me a story, just a short one.
Okay, let me think.
Let's go, let's go, let's really go.
By any chance, did you happen to glance at those tiny little ants that are in your plants? Did you watch them dance like they're kind of in a trance? Then they went to France in fancy pants.
all that you do. To your heart, you must be true. Did you know we are all born with gifts to nurture and to share? Did you know when we look inside ourselves, the more that we're aware that we are all like a snowflake, beautiful and unique? All we have to do is be ourselves and be the best we can be. Be the best we can be.
Well, folks, welcome back. I have our special guest here in the studio. Anne, do you want to come on up to the microphone here? Here, let's bring your mic and your stool over a little closer. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, I'm so glad that you're here again today. Anne, what did you think of last week's radio show? Did you have a chance to listen to it?
Well, actually, I really liked it. It was a lot of fun coming in the station, and sitting at the microphone was really fun. Actually, my mother suggested that since I wanted the kids to know about my pink ribbons in my hair, that you should maybe ask me a question about my pink ribbons. And then the kids will know, because I know they can't see me, actually. They're only hearing my voice, and they can't hear my pink ribbons.
Well, that's a good suggestion. Let me think of a question. So, Anne, how about just why? Why do you wear pink ribbons, Anne?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I actually wear pink ribbons because I like them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Anything else that you thought about last week's show?
Actually, my mother also wanted me to tell you that my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was actually called the Elephant's Child, Amy.
Oh. Oh, what have I been calling him?
Well, actually, you keep calling him the Elephant's Son. Why is that?
I don't know. Oh, my goodness, you're right. You're right. I know the title is Elephant's Child, but for some reason, every time I open my mouth, I'll have to go back and listen. Do I keep saying Elephant's Son by accident?
Yeah, Amy, actually, you do.
Oh, my goodness. I made a mistake. Oh, my goodness. Well, I make mistakes all the time.
How many mistakes do you make, Amy?
Well, geez, I'm not sure. I think I probably make lots of them. But, you know, I don't always know when I make a mistake, so I can very easily be making a lot more mistakes than I realize. But I the ones I realize, I do know, are a lot, are quite a bit. The trick is, I guess, you know, to learn from mistakes and to try not to make a habit out of them. like, now it's going to be harder for me to fix that elephant's son into elephant's child, because now I've been saying it so many times. So thank you for telling me, Anne, and thank your mother for me. That's really a good thing to catch.
Yes, actually, I'm really glad you're talking about my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and his insatiable curiosity.
Well, yeah, that was a great subject. It's a great subject for us to keep covering week after week, I think. That's why I'm so glad that you're here, Anne, for a while up here in Vermont. And do you remember what subject you were curious about that we were going to talk about today?
Well, yes, actually, there's lots of them today, Amy. It's so beautiful outside.
I know. The snow is really building up outside.
Building up? What is it building up to?
Well, I guess it's building up to snowbanks, I guess.
Why are they called banks? Is there money in them?
Well, no, I guess because they're a place that we save snow, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's why we call them banks. I'll have to think about that.
Save snow for what? What can you do with it?
Well, you can build all kinds of things, actually. You can build snowmen, for example. I have a song about a famous snowman. Would you like to hear that? I could bring it next week if you want. Maybe we'll check that out.
Yeah, I'm really curious about snowflakes and snow in general.
I know you are. I know you are, Anne. And I actually brought two bits of information. We have a little clip from a biography about a famous person in Vermont named Snowflake Bentley, who was the first person to take pictures of snowflakes up close under a microscope. So how about we listen to that? And then I have a picture book story about Snowflake Bentley, too. Thanks for joining us, guys. Let's listen to this great biography about our famous Vermonter, Snowflake Bentley.
It's magical. You look out the window and you see those first snowflakes start to fall, and you can't help but get a little excited that, you know, is this going to be a big storm? And
depending on the weather, the temperature, humidity, everything you want to take consideration with it. There's not supposed to be any two alike.
In a time before computers, digital cameras, and even electricity, 10-year-old Wilson Bentley had a dream to capture the beauty of a snow crystal.
Always, from the very beginning, it was the snowflakes that fascinated me most. The farm folks up in this country dread the winter, but I was supremely happy.
Oh, I think the whole thing is incredibly strange and special. The idea of this guy running around chasing snowflakes and making these negatives of them, it's just astonishing. It's so obsessive and passionate, and to make it then a life's work, it's a great story.
Bentley was born on February 9th, 1865 in Jericho, Vermont. His father was a farmer, and his mother was a teacher.
His mother had an old microscope that she used in her school teaching. So Bentley sat out in a shed in the back of the house, using the old microscope and looking at snow crystals. He did this again and again and again.
Bentley was a lover of nature, and he was infatuated with the symmetry of the snowflake. There was hexagonal beauty in the structures themselves.
I became possessed with a great desire to show people this wonderful loveliness.
He decided he had to get a camera.
This is the actual piece that he purchased. It's a Bellows camera. The rest of it, he had to adapt for the camera and then add the microscope onto it. One of the problems he had was that the microscope was in the front, and he had a view the snowflake from behind, and he was unable to reach and focus. So what he did, he designed this pulley system with a string and some wooden wheels, and he attached it to the fine focus of the microscope so that when he was behind the camera looking through it, he'd be able to focus the microscope to get a clear picture of the snowflake?
Yeah, at the time, photography was probably only 20 years old, and most of it was portrait photography. So to interface the camera with a microscope was a rather unique thing.
The actual making of these photographs couldn't have been more difficult, could not have been harder. So you've got this guy chasing around in some field with this piece of black velvet, catching the thing on, catching the little snowflake on the piece of black velvet, and then he's manipulating with a feather.
They had chickens in their chicken coop, and he would get a feather. He was always, feathers all over the place. He picked up a feather, and with that feather, he could move that snowflake around to get just the ones that he wanted and push away the others.
He'd bring it back in the shed, and he'd very carefully look at it. And if he found a snow crystal he wanted to photograph, he would pick it up very gently and put it on the microscope slide. Then he would put that in front of the camera and point the camera out into the storm so you get in the flight. He worked with transmitted light. He had no electricity, so he had to use the light, natural light that he was able to get. It would take him anywhere from maybe 20 seconds to maybe 2 minutes for the exposure. But that's how we got it.
On January 15th, 1885, Wilson Bentley took the very first photograph of a snow crystal.
The day that I developed the first negative made by this method, I felt like falling on my knees beside that apparatus and worshiping it. I knew then that what I had dreamed of doing was possible. It was the greatest moment of my life.
They are beautiful photographs, first and foremost. And I think that that's the product of this sort of single-minded vision, just to get it right, to make them look handsome.
This was his obsession for the rest of his life. I think you could compare it to the Holy Grail. He was searching for that most magnificent of all snow crystals.
Oh, for 1,000 hands, 1,000 cameras to preserve more of this exquisite beauty so lavishly scattered over the earth.
Bentley was motivated from within and not from his family who kind of looked down their nose at what he was doing.
His father and brother never appreciated what he did, and they thought it was an absolute waste of time.
There's always work to do on the farm, and he's out there taking pictures of stupid snowflakes.
In spite of a lack of understanding and support, Bentley went on to take over 5,000 photographs of snowflakes.
Well, it's remarkable that he was able to photograph as many photographs as he did in a relatively short period of time. I think on some days he was able to photograph more than 50 snow crystals in a single day or a single snowstorm.
I think he was just looking at them, just really getting off on the total weirdness and beauty and specialness of them.
It's not the same kind of world that we had in those days. I don't think people would want to spend that amount of time. They don't have time for this, time for that. I got to do this. I got an appointment here. No way.
In the fall of 1931, after years of effort, Bentley finally convinced a publisher to print a complete collection of his snow crystal images.
2 days after Thanksgiving, 3 copies of his book arrived in the mail. And I had to believe he was just overjoyed at that. However, he did not have too much time to enjoy it. A week or so later, I believe he was coming back from Jericho, and I've been told it was pretty cold out and pretty wet and some snow down on the ground, and he got pneumonia. They had a nurse come in, but it was too late. He was getting sicker and sicker, and 2 days before Christmas, 1931, he died.
When he died, I felt badly about it because I just knew that we had lost somebody that was far ahead of everybody else in this particular science.
By and large, I think most people don't realize who Bentley was, and yet Most of the time when you see an image of a snowflake, it's either the actual image that Bentley took or photographed, or it's an artist's reconstruction of that snowflake.
I think he is very happy that so many are beginning to appreciate what he had been doing. Really. I hope he is, but I have an idea.
So that was an interesting biography about Snowflake Bentley, our famous Vermont snowflake photographer, the first one to use a microscope to look at snowflakes and then photograph them so everyone could see how beautiful all the details are, because, you know, a microscope makes little things seem bigger. And speaking of a little thing that is a really a big thing, you know what I just realized when I was listening to that story? Another piece of magic that I didn't even realize before this very minute. Snowflake Bentley's book about snowflakes that took him his whole life of mistakes and practice to learn how to take the photos and then find a publisher who would publish them so everyone can see them. His big dream, right? When did he get 3 copies of that book finally in his hands? Do you guys know what day that was? In the story, they said it was 2 days after Thanksgiving. Well, if Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday, and Thanksgiving was just a couple days ago, right, on a Thursday, then there was Friday, and then there was Saturday. Saturday after Thanksgiving is the 2 day after Thanksgiving anniversary. Guys, today is the actual anniversary of the day that Snowflake Bentley finally, after all those years of hard work, had those books. Three copies, I think. Who was listening closely? I think 3 copies of that book in his hands. Boy, that is something worth celebrating, isn't it? Okay, so now we're going to hear a storybook version. It's a nonfiction book, which means it is true. It's based on something true, right? Snowflake Bentley. But it's also got a local artist who drew all the pictures. Now, I'm sorry the kids listening at home aren't going to be able to see the pictures, but maybe some of you have this book at home, or I'm sure you can borrow it from the library. Enjoy.
Snowflake Bentley by Jacqueline Briggs Martin, illustrated by Mary Azarian. In the days when farmers worked with ox and sled and cut the dark with lantern light, there lived a boy who loved snow more than anything else in the world. Willie Bentley's happiest days were snowstorm days. He watched snowflakes fall in his mittens and the dried grass of Vermont farm fields. On the dark metal handle of the barn door, he said snow was as beautiful as butterflies or apple blossoms. He could net butterflies and show them to his older brother, Charlie. He could pick apple blossoms and take them to his mother, but he could not share snowflakes because he could not save them. When his mother gave him an old microscope, he used it to look at flowers, raindrops, and blades of grass. Best of all, he used it to look at snow. While other children built forts and pelted snowballs at roosting crows, Willie was catching single snowflakes. Day after stormy day, he studied the icy crystals. Their intricate patterns were even more beautiful than he had imagined. He expected to find whole flakes that were the same, that were copies of each other, but he never did. Willie decided he must find a way to save snowflakes so others could see their wonderful designs. For 3 winters, he tried drawing snow crystals. They always melted before he could finish. When he was 16, Willie read of a camera with its own microscope. "If I had that camera, I could photograph snowflakes," he told his mother. Willie's mother knew he would not be happy until he could share what he had seen. Fussing with snow is just foolishness, his father said. Still, he loved his son. When Willie was 17, his parents spent their savings and bought the camera. It was taller than a newborn calf and cost as much as his father's herd of 10 cows. Willie was sure it was the best of all cameras. Even so, his first pictures were failures, no better than shadows. Yet, he would not quit. Mistake by mistake, snowflake by snowflake, Willie worked through every storm. Winter ended, the snow melted, and he had no good pictures. He waited for another season of snow. One day, in the second winter, he tried a new experiment, and it worked. Willie had figured out how to photograph snowflakes. Now everyone can see the great beauty in a tiny crystal, he said. But in those days, no one cared. Neighbors laughed at the idea of photographing snow. Snow in Vermont is as common as dirt. We don't need pictures. Willie said the photographs would be his gift to the world. While other farmers sat by the fire or rode to town with horse and sleigh, Willie studied snowstorms. He stood at the shed door and held out a black tray to catch the snowflakes. When he found only jumbled, broken crystals, he brushed the tray clean with turkey feather and held it out again. He waited hours for just the right crystal and didn't notice the cold. If the shed were warm, the snow would melt. If he breathed on the black tray, the snow would melt. If he twitched a muscle as he held the snow crystal on the long wooden pick, the snowflake would break. He had to work fast or the snowflake would evaporate before he could slide it into place and take its picture. Some winters, he was able to make only a few dozen good pictures. Some winters, he made hundreds. Willie was so loved the beauty of nature. He took pictures in all seasons. In the summer, his nieces and nephews rubbed coat hangers with sticky pitch from spruce trees. Then Willie could use them to pick up spider webs jeweled with water drops and take their pictures. On fall nights, he would gently tie a grasshopper to a flower so he could find it in the morning and photograph the dew-covered insect. But his snow crystal pictures were always his favorite. He gave copies away or sold them for a few cents. He made special pictures as gifts for birthdays. He held evening slideshows on the lawns of his friends. Children and adults sat on the grass and watched while Willie projected his slides onto a sheet hung over a clothesline. He wrote about snow and published his pictures in magazines. He gave speeches about snow to faraway scholars and neighborhood sky watchers. You are doing a great job, said the professor from Wisconsin. The little farmer came to be known as the world expert on snow, the snowflake man. But he never grew rich. He spent every penny on his pictures. Willie said there were treasures in snow. I can't afford to miss a single snowstorm, he told a friend. I never know when I will find some wonderful prize. Other scientists raised money so Willie could gather his best photographs in a book. When he was 66 years old, Willie's book, His Gift to the World, was published. Still, he was not ready to quit. Less than a month after, during the first page on his book, Willie walked 6 miles home in a blizzard to make more pictures. He became ill with pneumonia after that walk and died 2 weeks later. A monument was built for Willie in the center of town. The girls and boys who had been his neighbors grew up and told their sons and daughters the story of the man who loved snow. 40 years after Wilson Bentley's death, children in his village worked to set up a museum in honor of the farmer scientist. And his book has taken the delicate snow crystals that once blew across Vermont, past mountains, over the earth. Neighbors and strangers have come to know of the icy wonders that land on their own mittens, thanks to Snowflake Bentley. The end.
Well, welcome back, folks, and welcome back, Anne. What did you think? What did you think of the story? And what did you think of the biography? You haven't had a chance to tell us what you thought of all that yet.
Well, I'm actually really thankful that Snowflake Bentley didn't give up. Even when some people said, you know, that he shouldn't be taking pictures of silly snowflakes, I'm really glad that he stuck with it.
Yeah, that's really true. I'm really thankful for that, too. That's an important quality. What else? Do you have anything else that you noticed about the stories?
Well, actually, I think that second story, the picture book, I think maybe that one made a mistake.
Well, what do you mean? What did you notice, Anne?
Well, there were some differences between what one, the biography, the first one we heard, what that said, and then what the picture book said. So now I'm confused. Amy, did he use a turkey feather to brush the snowflakes, or did he use a chicken feather? The first story said, the first biography said he used a chicken feather, right? Because he had a chicken coop. And the other one said he used a turkey feather. Which one is right? Who made a mistake, and how are we going to find out?
Wow, Anne, you were paying very close attention to the details. Good job. Well, you know, I guess either a turkey feather or a chicken feather would work. I'm not sure which one he actually used. We'd have to do some more research, you know, to find out. Maybe he used both. You know, there is a possibility. Maybe, you know, the chicken feather is more true because it looked like, I think it was his sister who was describing the chicken coop, but I'm not sure. Let's do some more research because I wonder where the second author of the picture book got the idea for the turkey feather. There must be some reason. Boy, wow, Anne, you've got me really curious now. You know, just like with any subject, you know, we have to do some more research to find out, you know, what really happened, but we can get closer and closer and closer the more we learn.
Well, actually, I don't know. What is that, a mistake then? Are mistakes good or bad?
Well, that's a very good question. I think mistakes are good, you know, because that's how we learn. And of course, no one person is ever going to get it all right. It's like the blind men and the elephant, the story we heard last week, right? And so all the blind men were accurate in their descriptions of the elephant parts, but they couldn't understand the whole thing until, you know, they needed to spend more time talking to each other and listening, like you pointed out last week, to each other, and going back and feeling the elephant again, right? And mistakes are actually what make us really unique. You know, I was studying how snowflakes are made, and I found out that snowflakes have all their unique shapes, and they're all different because as they fall all the way out of the sky and all the way down to Earth, different conditions happen. Different temperatures, different humidity, different wind gusts, and all those different experiences that each individual snowflake goes through, because no two snowflakes experience it all the same, right? Makes all the little details of the crystals different. It's sort of like us, right? That we have a basic shape. We humans have a five-pointed shape, our head, our arms, our legs. Snowflakes have a six-pointed shape. I don't know about elephants, Anne. I'll have to look into that. But as we go through life, you know, we're born a certain way. And then as we go through life, different things affect us. And then because of who we are, they affect me differently than they affect you, even if they're the same thing. And so we all come out different. Wow, Anne. So I'm really glad that you joined us with your curiosity. I have some more music to take out the show. I actually have a song about a turkey on the farm who falls in love with a chicken. So it's right on the theme of the feathers. And I also have a song about a boy who cut his grandpa's firewood the wrong size. Johnny cut grandpa's wood the wrong size. And firewood is a big, important part about staying warm in the winter. So let's keep celebrating, guys. Thanks for joining me on Amy's Kids Show.
Hey there. You're a chicken. And I'm a turkey. And here is my love song just to you. I love your wings. I love your beak. You do those things. They're so unique. I love your eyes. The way you walk, I love your voice. The way you squawk, I'm so alone, alone and blue. Come be my own and love me too. You need to know about my love. Hey, where'd you go? My turkey dove. Hey, where'd you go? My turkey dove. Well, how do you like that? Another one flies the coop. Okay, she's not the only bird on this farm. Uh-huh. Hey there. You're a duck. And I'm a turkey. And here is my love song, just to you. I love your wings. I love your bill. You do those things. They're such a thrill. I love your eyes. Your ruffled back. I love your voice. The way you quack. Come be with me. What do you say? Hey, this could be your lucky day. Hey, this could be your lucky day. Your lucky day. Your lucky day. Your lucky ducky. Ducky. Oh, pretty ducky. Hey, hello. Darn. Johnny cut grandpa's wood too long. Grandpa said, hey, let's sing a song. Everybody makes mistakes. Fix it now, don't hesitate. Teacher said, class, what's 2 plus 2? Johnny said, yes, 3 will do. Teacher said, better think some more. Johnny said, yes, the answer's 4. Johnny cut grandpa's wood too long. Grandpa said, hey, let's sing this song. Everybody makes mistakes. Fix it now, don't hesitate. It couldn't be right if it couldn't be wrong. Couldn't be short if it couldn't be long. According to some philosopher. But he didn't really know for sure. Johnny was supposed to take the bus. His friends said, hey, come with us. He went off to run and play. Now he won't get no dinner today. Johnny cut grandpa's wood too long. Grandpa said, hey, let's sing this song. Everybody makes mistakes. Fix it now, don't hesitate. It couldn't be right if it couldn't be wrong. Couldn't be short if it couldn't be long. According to some philosopher. But he didn't really know for sure. Johnny cut grandpa's wood too long. Grandpa said, hey, let's sing a song. Everybody makes mistakes. Fix it now, don't hesitate.
mother's old gray whiskers.
That overflows. has nowhere to go. When love is written in a heart of snow. Above the falls, the boys have thrills when skating on the lake. They rush to where the water spills and then slam on the brakes. There was a boy, a friend of mine, skated as fast as he could. He tried to stop before the line. It didn't do him any good.
Thank you.
Well, folks, thank you for joining me again this week for Amy's Kids Show. We had Anne the Elephant back in the studio today again. She is the great, 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 great granddaughter of the Elephant's Child. The Elephant's Child who had the insatiable curiosity. And I've been practicing that, saying Elephant's Child, because I've been making a mistake. I just went back and checked. For the last several shows, I've been calling the Elephant's Child the wrong name. And so I apologize, but I am learning, and everybody makes mistakes. And like Johnny's grandpa said in the Johnny Cut His Grandpa's Firewood Too Long song, Johnny's grandpa says, everybody makes mistakes. Fix it now. Don't hesitate. Right. The trick is realizing, right, that you made a mistake, which is a lot of the biggest part of the job there. And then fixing it, right? Especially if it's become a habit, it can be really tricky. And so we have been celebrating today making mistakes, but we've also been celebrating the result of some of the most amazing mistakes and the person who learned the most from his mistakes, Snowflake Bentley, who on today, 2 days after Thanksgiving, today is the anniversary of when he held his book of snowflakes that it took him his whole life to make, and lots and lots and lots of mistakes and perseverance to create this book so that he could have his dream come true to share those beautiful snowflakes with everybody. Isn't that such a beautiful dream, and that it came true today? Today is the anniversary of that dream coming true. And Anne wanted to say one more thing. She heard that someone sent in a joke last week. How did an elephant get in the studio? Did she go to a shrink first? Well, Anne said she has a joke, too, on that same theme that she wants to send out to listeners. Anne, why don't you scoot up to the mic here?
Well, actually, I have a joke that's a little bit similar. Actually, my joke says, you ready, Amy?
Yep, I'm ready.
There were two elephants under one umbrella. Why didn't they get wet?
Let me think. Okay, two elephants under one umbrella. I mean, elephants are pretty big, you would think. One little umbrella. I mean, maybe it was a gigantic umbrella. Maybe they were puppets like you? I don't know, Anne. What's the answer?
Well, actually, the answer is, it wasn't raining.
It wasn't raining. Oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that. Well, of course, that's why they didn't get wet. See how there are so many ways to think about things. I love jokes because they really expand our thinking, don't they? Wow, Anne, and you expand my thinking. And listeners out there, you expand my thinking. You are the greatest. Have a wonderful week. We'll be back next week.
Did you know that you are the only one in the world quite like you? Did you know that there is no other one who can be that special you? We are all like a snow. Be ourself and be the best we can be. Did you know that you are the only one with a heart and mind like you?
This is Lisa Maite, and you are listening to WGDR Plainfield and WGDH Hardwick.